Well, let's look at some verses in the Bible about praise. It seems like the Lord has directed our meeting that way, and we certainly want to move in His direction. Praise God. And if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 15, we read of the great deliverance that God wrought through Moses, and they crossed the Red Sea, and then they got over to the other side, and they began to sing and rejoice, and Miriam took out her tambourine and led the ladies and in worship. And it says there that I will prepare him a habitation. It's interesting that the Bible has been written in these different languages, the Hebrew and the Greek in particular, and that these languages have various shades of meaning. Some of the words, that's why you need interpreters that know the language and consider the context and choose what they feel is the proper interpretation. I trust they are looking to God to guide them in these things. And sometimes what God wants to say is he chooses a word that's pregnant with meaning. That because what he's wanting to communicate to us encompasses more than one thought. And it's good to consider these different meanings, shades of meaning, and see how they apply to the truth that God is wanting to reveal to us. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider he's thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, in other translations, maybe in one that you're looking at, it says, he is my God, and I will praise him. But here in the King James, it says, I will prepare him a habitation. And so we see a connection there, don't we? That when we praise the Lord, we are preparing him a habitation. We're inviting him to come and to dwell in our midst. We're opening the door for him to come in and inhabit our lives and inhabit those praises. I know in Psalm 22, it says there that God inhabits the praises of his people. And there too, another translation would render it, he is enthroned upon the praises of his people. And so as we praise the Lord, we prepare him a habitation, a place for him to come and live. We open the doors of our hearts, and God comes down in a special way and inhabits that place in our lives. And when he's enthroned upon the praises, that means he's seated upon the throne. We acknowledge his great authority. He is Lord of all. We recognize that he is king, and that he has all power and all authority, and that nothing can stand in his way. And so we recognize that. Lord, I recognize when I'm praising you, I'm recognizing that you're in control, that you're king, that all authority belongs to you. And when I'm in a difficult situation, I'm in a trial, when the enemy is fighting against me in some way and trying to discourage me or trip me up, I begin to praise God. I begin to acknowledge that the enemy's not in charge. Jesus is in charge. He's on the throne. And I praise him, and I praise him, and he is enthroned upon those praises. Thank God. In Psalm 103, we read those wonderful words that we're to bless the Lord. That means to praise the Lord with, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, and he heals all thy diseases. Praise God. There's a connection there, isn't there, between praising the Lord and acknowledging that He forgives all my sins. You know, sometimes we ask the Lord to forgive us and we repent, and yet somehow we still don't feel that burden, that guilt, that condemnation lifted. It tries to come back on us. I've talked to people where the enemy has just brought condemnation on them. They're fearful, they're guilty, and troubled over the things that they've done. Well, have you asked the Lord to forgive you? Have you repented? Yes, I have. But I still feel this darkness, this weight upon me. Well, maybe you need to praise that away. To praise Him for the forgiveness. He forgives all your iniquities. That's what the Bible says. So don't go by your feelings. Go by the Word of God and praise Him. Thank Him for forgiving you. Thank Him. I remember as a young person, I asked the Lord to come into my heart many times, and never really broke through to that assurance that I had received Christ and He was living in my heart. And I heard an evangelist one time speaking out in Port Jefferson, Long Island, and he said something that just changed my whole life. He said, you know, some of you have been asking the Lord to come into your heart for a long time, and you don't have that assurance of salvation. But the Bible says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so maybe you should stop asking Him to forgive you, and maybe you should start praising Him because He's faithful to do what He promised. And so I went home and I started doing that. I didn't ask Jesus to come into my heart anymore and to take away my sins. I said, Lord, You know that I've asked You. I've been as sincere as I possibly could. I've asked You to come into my heart and forgive me and be my Savior. And so, Lord, now I'm going to praise You, because if I did my part, I'm sure that You did Your part. And I began to praise Him, thank Him for His salvation, thank Him for His forgiveness, thank Him for His precious blood that washes away all my sin, and for His mercy. And it wasn't long before something happened in my life. The guilt, the condemnation lifted, and I don't know where it went, but it never came back. And the light of Jesus, the light of salvation, just filled my life. And I knew that I was a child of God, that Jesus was living in my heart. It came, first of all, through prayer, but it was manifest as I praised the Lord. And as we heard, there are people that have praised the Lord for their healing while they were sick. The Lord, the Holy Spirit led them to begin to praise Him now. You prayed for healing. You've claimed your healing. Now you need to praise God for the healing that He's provided for you. He's purchased on Calvary. And so they began to just praise Him. They didn't look healed. They didn't feel healed. Sometimes things even looked like they were getting worse. But they kept praising God. He's the healer. He's bore all my sin and all my sickness upon the cross when He died on Calvary. Hallelujah. God wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. He's my very life. He said that I've come to give you life and to give you more abundant life. And so you begin to just praise Him for your healing, praise Him for His life. And that somehow opens the way for these answers to prayer to find their way to us. And people have testified that while I was praising God, God healed me. The thing that I had been trusting Him for, God brought it about as I praised Him. There's so many verses that we could look at, and I just want to look at another one here for in the end of the book of Psalms. Most of the commands to praise the Lord are in the book of Psalms. And right at the very end, in I think it's the 149th chapter, it talks about that as we praise God, God binds kings with chains and nobles with fetters of iron. That's in the 149th Psalm. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. That's an interesting verse. You have to know when and where to do that, right? sing aloud on your bed. And then it says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and the nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. You know, the Israelites had many enemies that attacked them, that came against them. And I love that story with King Jehoshaphat, how he was so greatly outnumbered. And the Lord led him to go into battle and to put the praisers out front. And they praised the Lord. We read that with Joshua, too, as they marched around Jericho. On that seventh day, they marched around seven times, I believe it was, and then they praised the Lord, they shouted, they blew the trumpet. And with Jehoshaphat, they praised the Lord for his goodness, for his faithfulness. And as they praised the Lord, God set ambushments against the enemy, and God gave them a great victory that day over their enemy by praising him. And here, we have enemies in our life as well. The enemy of our soul is trying to destroy the work of God in our life and to keep us from doing the will of God, to discourage us and to bring problems into our life that seem insurmountable. And it says here, but we, by the high praises of God and the two-edged sword, of course, that speaks of the word of God, as we praise him according to his word, as we praise him because of his promises and so on, that the kings and these dark powers and these authorities in the heavenly places are bound with chains, and we are set free. And he says, this honor have all his saints. We can praise God. And the enemy is bound as we do. Dark powers are defeated. And victory comes into our lives. And Jesus is glorified. And so I like that. Oh, I'm going to praise God. Seems like the enemy is surrounding me. And this is happening and that's happening. My mother used to use the expression, the enemy is having a field day. The enemy sure having a field day when certain things were happening. Well, we don't want him to have a field day. We want to break that up. And so we start to praise him. Lord, no matter what things look like, no matter how I feel, no matter how things seem to be getting even worse, Lord, I'm going to praise you. And you're going to defeat the enemy. We pray and we call upon God. And then we add to our prayers the praises that chain bind up the enemy, and set God's people free. Praise God. And then, even in the New Testament, there are some wonderful verses. And I just wanted to read that verse in Hebrews that we quoted, that praise is the fruit of our lips. It's, some people say, well, I'm a shy sort of person. I'm more reserved. I just praise God in my heart. Well, of course, that's where it has to start. But if your praises are what they ought to be, they're going to overflow over your lips. And that's what God tells us here in Hebrews. It says, let us offer by him the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Is that in the 13th chapter? 13:15. Thank you. By him, therefore, let us offer to God continually. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise God. I like that word continually. That doesn't mean just praise the Lord in meeting, but you need to learn to praise God outside of meeting. I need to learn to praise God at home. That's sometimes where the battle is, right there at home. The enemy tries to destroy our families and the relationships that we have. And so on. Sometimes there's rebellion, or the love of God is not flowing as it ought to. The peace of God isn't there. Well, that's where we need to learn to praise him. Lord, I'm going to praise you. This home belongs to you. My family belongs to you. You gave them to us, Lord. And Jesus, the enemy wants to disrupt, but we're going to believe God to have his way and to glorify himself in our family, in our home, in our church, wherever it may be. As Brother Dale said before, if you can't praise God at Pilgrim Camp when everybody else is praising him, how are you going to praise God at home? How are you going to praise God when things go bad on the job or when problems rise, serious problems that come into your life? You know, God gives us great help when we come together and we can just kind of fit in. There was a lady at Pilgrim Camp years ago that said, I learned to praise God at camp by sitting next to a person that really praised. And when they said hallelujah, I said hallelujah. And when they said praise the Lord, I said praise the Lord. When they said thank you, Jesus, I said thank you, Jesus. She said after a while, I didn't have to listen to them anymore. Now the praises began to flow out of my heart. And I just blended right in. And if the Lord was moving through praise and it was leading the congregation to worship, I just jumped right into the flow of what the Holy Spirit was doing. I wanted the blessing too, and God had it for me, but he was waiting for me to enter in. Praise God. And so we learn to praise God in meetings like this. We ask the Lord to teach us how to praise him in a way that he's worthy of. We recognize that he's worthy of all our praise. And then we say, now, Lord, help me to do this continually. Not just at Pilgrim Camp. Maybe I can't do it in the church that I go to because they don't worship that way. You know, there was a man that, I'll close with this thought. There was a man that went away on vacation and he went to a church where they were praising God and that was something new to him. And they were preaching salvation and he didn't hear much about that in his church either. And he opened his heart and he got saved, wonderfully saved. And God came to him in a wonderful way. And then when he got back from vacation, he was just all excited about the Lord and really hungry to hear God's word. And when the preacher got up to speak, he said, hallelujah. And everybody looked back. And then the preacher continued and said something wonderful. And he said, praise the Lord. And that happened a few times. And so the usher came over to him and said, brother, we don't do that in our church. And he said, but I found the Lord. He said, well, you didn't find him here, so be quiet. And that was sadly true. He didn't find him there. Praise God. But we have to. But that's something we can nurture in our everyday life, in our private life, in our time of prayer. We can sing. We can praise. We can get together with others that can worship the Lord with us. And we just want to nurture that continual attitude of praise and worship to God. And that helps us to live in the presence of God. He inhabits your praises when you're praising him at home. He inhabits your praises when you're praising him on the job. When I was a teenager, I worked at King Cullen. That's a grocery store. And I used to go out to they look for volunteers to go out and collect all the shopping carts. Because the people would just scatter them all over the... And nobody liked to do that, but I liked to do it because when I got out there, I could praise God while I was gathering the carts. And I could praise him and nobody heard me. And it helped me to keep in touch with Jesus while I was working and to stay in the place of blessing. And so, the last verse the Bible says in the Psalms, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then it says, as we heard, praise ye the Lord. You praise the Lord. Don't leave it up to everyone else that has breath. But as long as you're alive, glorify God with your tongue and praise him. Amen. Well, I thank God for this subject that he's brought to us today. And I'm sure that it was appointed of the Holy Spirit. And we need to take it to heart. And to those that praise him, we can do better. And if we're just getting started, well, let's ask the Lord, Lord, teach us to praise. Teach me to praise as you teach me to pray as well. Amen. Let's stand together. Come, let's stand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship thee, for thou art worthy. With humble hearts, thy praise we sing. We bow to thee in adoration. We worship thee, our Lord and King. Thou art of old, our rock and our salvation. Thou art our hope throughout eternity. Salvation, thou art our hope throughout eternity. Of thy great love we've fully been persuaded. Thou Son of God, we worship thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, glory, 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 hallelujah. Oh, shed your praises into our hearts, Lord. Oh, we don't praise you enough, but Lord, we pray that you'll help us, anoint us with fresh oil to give you praise and give you honor and give you glory, Jesus. Oh, let it become a part of our life, Lord, wherever we are. Whatever we're doing, we pray that Jesus Christ will be praised. We ask this all in your precious holy name. Commit ourselves to you for this day. Keep us under your precious blood, the whole camp. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have prayer meeting at 4 o'clock, 4:15 again, for the staff and others that would like to join us. So feel free to be part of that. Okay. God bless you.